That was Eating Out by that was That's My Man by Eating Out. Hi, you're listening to CITR 101.9, and this is the Student Special Hour. I'm your host, Yusi, and in the studio today, we have a very special guest from UBC Services called Speakeasy. Her name is Kira. Do you mind introducing yourself?
Yeah, so I'm the coordinator of AMS Speakeasy. We're a student service offered by the AMS, and we offer peer support services for students and faculty on campus.
Yeah, that sounds amazing, Kira. Do you mind telling the listeners a little bit about what Speakeasy does and kind of what services they offer students?
Of course. We're a free, confidential, one-on-one, one-time service. So we're free because we're funded by your student fees. Yeah, of course, you know that some of your student fees go to the AMS, and the student services are funded by those fees. So that's why we're able to remain free for students. We're also confidential, meaning that anything that you discuss at Speakeasy will, of course, stay within Speakeasy. There are limits to confidentiality, but your peer support volunteer will discuss that with you if you come in for a session right at the beginning. So we operate on informed consent. Everything that happens within our space, you will always know what's going to happen. And it's completely under your control how you use your session time. We are a one-on-one service, so that means that you can come in and have a one-on-one session with a trained peer support volunteer. We're not professionals. We're not counselors. I think that's a common misconception, but it's important to know because that's also why we're a one-time service. We're not able to offer long-term support. What we are able to offer is a listening ear, someone to lean on, for the duration of your session, and referrals to both UBC services and resources on campus as well as off campus.
There are some interesting things that Kira has just pointed out in her introduction, one of which was that all of the volunteers are students studying at UBC.
Correct.
So do you mind elaborating on that? Students studying at UBC, how would a student get involved in becoming a volunteer at Speakeasy?
Yeah, so we have two kinds of volunteers at Speakeasy. Until January of this year, we always had our peer support volunteers. So our peer support volunteers are trained in peer support skills, including active listening, queer competency, sexual assault support, and various other topics. Also suicide prevention, grief and bereavement, and more than that even. We also have outreach volunteers. That program was started in January of this year. So the outreach volunteers don't provide peer support, but they do provide outreach services for our service, and they connect with students on campus, not only to increase the usage of our service, but as well to increase the conversation about mental health happening on campus to reduce the stigma around mental health and accessing mental health services. If students wanted to be involved with Speakeasy, the best way to do that is to get in touch with the coordinator in the summer. That may or may not be myself. We're currently rehiring for the summer. So you would apply during the summer. We unfortunately don't hire during the year. We get all our hiring out of the way before September, and usually the cutoff is midnight on Imagine Day.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, so I am the outreach coordinator for CITR, so I know how important it is to reach out to clubs because not a lot of students have heard about Speakeasy or know of the services that they provide. Another interesting point that you pointed out was that it's a one-time service.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mind elaborating on why you have why Speakeasy has targeted as a one-time service instead of multiple services?
Yeah, so as I pointed out before, we're not professionals. Our volunteers are trained volunteers, but they're not professionals, and I'm not a professional either. I started out as a volunteer, and this is my fourth year with the service. So I provide training to the volunteers now because I'm incredibly familiar with the skill set of being a peer support volunteer, and I'm incredibly familiar with our training materials. That still doesn't make me a professional, and it doesn't make me a counselor. In that way, I'm not qualified to give long-term support, and neither are any of our volunteers. There's still a lot of benefits to coming in for one session. Firstly, just having somebody hear your problems can be incredibly comforting. There is a lot of power in making a connection with a student when you're struggling, or even just day to day, making that connection and having somebody hear you and hear what you're going through and hear the feelings that you've been struggling with, or to talk through a plan that you're trying to make, to talk through a decision that you're trying to make, or to talk through an issue that you can't seem to make sense of, it can be incredibly helpful to sit down with a student for a session and just talk it out and have them listen to you and back you up and really be on your side. Additionally, we offer referrals to resources on and off campus. This is helpful for students because dealing with your problem long term can feel very daunting when you're trying to tackle that independently. Mm-hmm. And to have somebody not only supporting you, but showing you ways that different ways, giving you options and empowering you to take care of that long term and to put yourself first long term and make sure that you're accessing ways to keep improving and keep maintaining your mental health. It can be incredibly powerful and empowering. A lot of power going on.
Yeah.
It can be really, really great. And so that's why I think that our service is really important. And even though it's limited to one time, we would never tell a student never to come back again. What we say is that we can only provide help for a student one time per issue, if you will. So it's not helpful to a student to come back multiple times for the same issue.
Mm-hmm.
But say in first year you're struggling with an issue with a prof, and in fourth year you're struggling with a breakup. That would be those would be totally two different instances and great mm-hmm. times to come use our service. But frankly, we can't offer the kind of help that somebody needs if they want to talk to somebody multiple times for the same issue. And we recognize that limitation. So we encourage students to come in for one session, and then we encourage them to explore resources with us to get the long-term help that they're looking for.
Yeah, that sounds really nice. I guess the one-time service would to get the students to start speaking and recognize that it's okay to have problems, that everyone has problems. I know sometimes when we run into some issues that we don't feel too comfortable opening up to our friends about or even our parents about, this could be an resource that they could rely on, or they could treat as the first step on opening more up about how you feel.
Yeah, it's kind of in the name in that way, speak easy, right? To come in and just start talking about what's going on and start opening those doors and start feeling those emotions and feeling them with someone else and sorting through them. It's making sense of an obstacle and making sense of your experience when it feels really daunting.
Yeah. So I just have a little question about the history of Speakeasy.
Yeah.
When did Speakeasy first start on campus?
Speakeasy is actually the oldest student service. So we were started in 1970 by a group of social work students who were concerned about campus loneliness. And we were awarded official student service status when the student service were formed a few years later. The student services, rather, were formed a few years later officially under the AMS. And that's when we began to receive funding and have full-time staff, well, paid staff, such as myself, not full-time, still a student. So that's sort of where we came from, and we've developed on through from there. We offered several different services over the years. We used to have a phone line where students could call in and talk about their distress over the phone. We don't currently offer that service because we chose to focus on in-person peer support training rather than over-the-phone training. We also used to offer tutoring referrals before AMS tutoring was came into existence as its own mm-hmm. service. So Speakeasy has definitely gone through a lot of changes since 1970, but our mandate has always been to improve student wellness, and we maintain that mandate today.
Still going strong today after 80 years?
Well, since 1970, so what's that, 45?
45 years.
Yeah.
My math is just not on point today.
I guess in 5 years we'll have a big celebration.
Yeah, because you're going to reach that
50-year goal.
50-year mark, yeah. That sounds amazing. I know before we came on air, we kind of talked a little bit about how in society or on campus recently or throughout the years that there's been a stigma about talking about mental health. Would you like to elaborate more on that aspect of...
Yeah, I think students, staff, faculty alike all have difficulty talking about mental health. I know for myself, even though this is the work that I do still struggle sometimes to open up when maybe I'm going through a hard time, or I struggle to remember to bring up mental health with my friends and family on a daily basis. But that's one of my personal and professional goals, is to open up the conversation about mental health such that we're all talking about it every day. I think that the separation of mental and physical health into two distinct categories is something that has done us a pretty big disservice. Throughout history, we've gone back and forth, throughout human history, that is, we've gone back and forth about on thinking about mental health and physical health as the same thing or two different things. And it's my hope that we can push back towards thinking about them as the same thing. Because in as much as you brush your teeth every day to maintain your dental hygiene and your physical health, we need to talk about our mental health every day. And the best way to do that is to engage with the people around you on a social, emotional level to talk about your mental health. And I think that's something that we struggle to do on campus. When we're using all of our mental energy to focus on studying and getting a job and writing a paper or working in a lab and that kind of thing, I think we forget that we have a lot of emotional energy that we need to put back into ourselves. I think if we can reframe it in a daily check in that way, we can reduce a lot of the stigma around mental health. One of the other huge problems that I see is that we often think about mental health as something that you talk about when things are going wrong.
Right, yeah.
So you talk about it when things are going wrong, and it's automatically assumed to be really serious and really severe.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are in that state of mental health crisis are often really stigmatized. You know, say that people are lazy if they can't get out of bed, when in reality they might be struggling with depression.
Yeah.
We say that people are incompetent if they have a hard time getting up in front of class and giving a presentation, but they might have severe anxiety and panic attacks. I think we forget a lot of the time to remember that even though we might not be struggling ourselves with some of these issues, the people around us definitely are.
I can definitely speak to that, because I used to have a friend in high school, one of my best friends. I didn't really recognize what was wrong with her. I just thought she just was not wanting to hang out or anymore. But later on, I found out that she has been hospitalized due to some mental issues, and I wished that we were more open about talking about it, and I wish that she would have reached out to me or reached out to some resources that might have been available to her to identify what was, I guess, going on through her head before that it became to that serious problem. And yeah, I definitely think people should be more open about talking about it. And actually, on Facebook, one of my high school friends posted that she has just taken her last pill. She was diagnosed with depression in 2013, and she has completed her treatment. So it's surprising to me the amount of people who are under stress and who are feeling mentally unhealthy, but we as their friends or we as people within their community don't really like to speak about it or don't know anything about it.
Yeah, but what I'm hearing from you as well is that you would have been there to support that friend had you known what was going on.
Yeah.
And so it seems to me that your friend had support around them that she didn't know was there. It was invisible support, and that support could have been a lot more visible. It could have been in her line of vision if mental health was something that we talked about every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's cases like that that really make me think that that's what we need to be working towards. And that's why I'm so passionate about the work that I do, and I'm so passionate about Speakeasy as a resource, because I think that it's so valuable, and we have a really huge opportunity to help reframe mental health on our campus for the better.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who, maybe a lot of students out there who want to talk but just can't find the courage or can't be motivated to, I guess, come to Speakeasy. Do you have any advice for these students, or on coming to Speakeasy and, I guess, convince them that it's okay to come and talk about your issues?
Well, my biggest, most important piece of advice would be trust yourself. If you feel like you need help, then we're here for you. A lot of the times I hear students say things like, yeah, I'm going through something, but it's not that bad. There are people who are worse off than me, and the service is there for them, not me. But I don't like to tell people they're wrong, but that's not true. Any problem is applicable to how we work at Speakeasy. There's nothing too big or too small. And when you trust yourself and you trust yourself to know whether you need help, it's really powerful. I think self-identification for students, you know, who stick their hand up and say, me, I need help. It's my turn. Somebody help me. I think that's the most important thing. And that's the most important thing that tells me that a student needs to be at our service, needs to be using our service. So trust yourself is the biggest thing that I would say. I also want to talk a little bit about how to access our service, because I know sometimes there's confusion. So as I said before, we don't currently offer a phone line. We do have a phone at the desk, and you can find that number on our website. And via that number, you can call if you feel like you want to check whether or not the space is free, because we are drop-in based and we don't make appointments. So if you wanted to call ahead, you can do that, but it's absolutely not necessary. So when you come to our space, we have a desk in the North Concourse of the Sub. Many of you have probably seen it and thought that it's an information desk and asked us where the bathroom is. So in addition to running information services from that point, it's also our point of contact for peer support. So if you were interested in using the service, you would simply come to the desk and say, hey, can I talk to somebody? Or whatever phrase you're comfortable using to let the volunteers know that you're looking for a peer support session. And one of the volunteers would then walk you just like 6 steps to the left behind this little wall. We have a door that leads into our peer support space. That's a private space with 3 chairs, and you can sit down there and have your session. There's also a doorbell just outside the door to the peer support space. So if you were uncomfortable approaching the desk, you could ring that doorbell, and a volunteer would meet you at the door to take you in for a session. So I think it's great that we have those two ways of accessing our service. And the doorbell's there for people who feel like they want a little bit more anonymity in accessing the service, or they're just not comfortable asking for a session verbally. They can use that way of requesting a session. Unfortunately, because we're in the middle of the sub, we can't guarantee complete anonymity, but that's what we've done to do as much as we can to make students feel comfortable coming into our space. But of course, I recognize that while our service is great and has a lot of different ways that it can be used and a lot of different students that it could help, it might not be right for everybody. And so I always like to tell people that counseling services is here for you on campus. And you can also use Youth in BC. They have a chat line online where you can talk to a peer support volunteer. Or a support volunteer, I'm not sure what they call them at Youth in BC. And then at the Crisis Center in Vancouver, they have a phone line that's 1-800-SUICIDE, and you can call there anytime, 24 hours, I believe, to talk to a distress volunteer. They also have a chat line, and I believe that one goes overnight, so it's from sometime in the evening till sometimes in the early morning. There will be a chat available through the Crisis Center. So there are different ways of accessing our service, and our service is here for everyone. But self-identification is the most important thing. And if you think you need our help, then great, it's there for you. And if you think that a different kind of help is better for you, then go for that too. The most important thing is connecting yourself to a service or asking someone to connect you to a service and talking it out and letting people know that you need help, because there is support all around you, and all you have to do is put up your hand and ask.
Yeah, there's a lot of resources that I feel like we're underutilizing, and as you've introduced before, that these are the services run by Speakeasy, actually funded out of our student fees. So it's really underutilized, and a lot more students should be, if they feel comfortable, should be utilizing these services.
Yeah, you're paying for it, so use it. It's there for you.
Yeah. So we'll come back after some commercials.
Whoever said money can't buy you friends obviously wasn't a member at CITR. When you become a member, you get the Friends of CITR card with incredible discounts in the Main Street area at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Lucky's Comics, Neptune Records, RX Comics, Red Cat Records, the Regional Assembly of Text, the Wallflower Modern Diner, and Woo Vintage Clothing.
To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or go online to citr.ca. Are you not sure where to go on campus? Traveling late at night and afraid to go alone? Call SafeWalk, a free service where a co-ed team will take you anywhere you need to go on campus. Don't walk alone. For a walk, add SafeWalk to your phone. Call 604-822-5355. That's 604-822-5355. Alternatively, use a UBC Blue phone and ask for SafeWalk. Approach any SafeWalk team or drop by our office on the main floor of the sub across from the gallery lounge. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Hey, I'm Christine. I work in the music department.
Hi, my name is Natalie, the new media coordinator.
Hey, it's Rohit Joseph, sponsorship coordinator.
Hi, this is Yusi, and I'm the outreach coordinator.
This is Brenda, host of Peanut Butter and Jams on Thursdays.
Nasher, the ad coordinator at CITR.
My name is Robin Ellum. I'm the program manager.
Hi, I'm Eric Coates, the student music executive.
This is Costa, the news director.
Hey, it's John, the production coordinator.
Hey, this is Josh. I'm the digital submissions coordinator.
I'm Nellie, host of The Cat's Pajams.
This is Matt Granlund from Stranded, the Australian-Canadian Music and Talk Show.
My name is Hugo. I'm the volunteer manager.
Hey, I'm Jane. I'm the volunteer coordinator.
Hey, it's Sarah Corden Lee from the CITR Music Department.
This is Eleanor Waring, president of CITR Student Executive. From all of us at CITR, we would like to acknowledge and thank everyone who donated to this year's fund drive. With the help of listeners like you, we raised over $38,000. For this incredible generosity, we would like to say thank you.
Thanks,
you.
Thank you for donating to Fun Drive.
Thank you very much for your support. We love you guys. Take it easy.
Thank you so much for donating to Fun Drive.
Thank you. Your donation makes such a huge difference.
Thank you so much for all your donations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your support.
Thank you all so much for your support.
Thank you very much to everybody that donated for Fun Drive.
Thank you.
Thank you for your support.
Thank you for supporting this year's Fun Drive.
Thanks, guys, for volunteering and donating.
Thank you so much for donating to CITR's Fun Drive this year. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
This March 20th at the Wise Hall, She, a night featuring a powerhouse lineup of women making their bold mark in word and music, including Purple Heart Social Club, Lady Jams, Jeanette King, JB the First Lady, Immortal, and headliner Natasha T. Miller, a Detroit spoken word artist, followed by a dance party with DJ Kuka. This is a 19-plus event at the legendary Wise Hall, 1882 Adenac. $20 gets you in, plus a copy of Immortal's new album. Doors at 8, show at 9. For more info, go to immortal.com/shows.
Come and feel our positive energy at Falun Dafa Fellowship. Falun Dafa, also called Falun Gong, is an ancient spiritual discipline based on the principles of truthfulness, compassion, and tolerance. It's a self-cultivation practice that improves mental and physical wellness through meditation and simple exercises. It's been well documented to improve mind and body, relieve stress and anxiety, increase energy and vitality, and promote morality and spirituality. Why not give yourself a chance to learn free of charge? To learn more, please visit our website at falundafafellowship.com.
And we're back on air. You're listening to CITR 101.9. This is the student special. And in the studio today, we have Kira from Speakeasy. So before Kira goes, I just wanted to ask Kira about the new space that Speakeasy will have in the new sub.
So in the new sub, we're going to continue to have front desk space like we have right now. And the new front desk is decked out. It's totally digital, and we're sharing that space with SafeWalk and AMS Security. So we're going to be front and center, really accessible. And then our peer support space is going to be upstairs in the services area near where my administrative office will be, or the administrative office. Not sure yet who it's going to belong to. And so if you wanted to access the service, you would do it pretty much in the same way. You would approach the desk and speak to a volunteer, or you could go upstairs to the space and let somebody know that you're looking for a volunteer to support you in the space.
Wow.
So it's really exciting because it's going to be clean and new, and we're not going to be in the little hole on the main floor. And I'm looking forward to modern decor, not the current sub-60s vibe.
Yeah.
As fun as that is, it looks a little downtrodden at times. So I'm super excited and super excited that we get to be front and center in the sub, continuing to support students.
Mm-hmm. So just to conclude Kira's visit today, if you would like to have some peer support and talk to a student who is trained in supporting you in your mental
anything.
You're welcome to drop by Speakeasy, and you can access it through their front desk located in the sub or ring the doorbell.
Yeah.
Our
hours are 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday to Friday, and during exam season, they're abridged to 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm. And also, does Speakeasy have a Facebook account?
We don't currently have a Facebook account, mm-hmm. So our Facebook communications happen via the AMS page. If you'd like to communicate with somebody, you can email me at speak@ams.ubc.ca to find out more about our service, referrals, or volunteer opportunities.
Mm-hmm. And thank you, Kira, so much for coming on air today and sharing a service that we might all need at one point in our lives.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoy connecting with students, and I think this is a great way to do it.
Yeah, hopefully students will be able to know more about Speakeasy and come and utilize the service.
I hope so. We have space, and we have the will to support you, so drop by.
All right. For the next part of our show, I'm going to have the Social Justice Center from UBC come on air. But before that, this is Cool TV by the artist Cool.
Touch.
And we're back. You're listening to CITR 101.9. This is the student special hour. And in the studio now, we have Evyatar. I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. I'm sorry. I'm horrible with names. From the Social Justice Center from UBC. So please introduce yourself.
Hi. So my name is Evyatar. I'm one of the co-chairs of the Social Justice Center. The Social Justice Center is a resource group of the AMS, along with a few others like the Student Environment Center, Color Connected, the Women's Center. And our role is to foster activism around progressive social issues, to get students informed and to provide resources for students who want to act on these issues.
Mm-hmm. That sounds amazing. So what are some of the services that the Social Justice Center offer to students, or what has the Social Justice Center done in the community?
So we often have informational events about different things that are going on, and particularly we offer resources to other students who want to do activism. So we can offer funding to other groups. We offer free website hosting. We can help promote your event. Those kinds of things.
Yeah, that sounds good. I heard about a conference that's coming up that the Social Justice Center is hosting. Do you mind talking a little bit about the conference?
Yeah. So we've had a conference. We've had a conference for several years now. This year, so we've been working on a variety of issues at the Social Justice Center over the past few years. One of the most salient ones has been mining. So Canada, most of the world's mining companies are headquartered in Canada, and Canada is very much complicit in human rights abuses they commit abroad by providing financial support, diplomatic support, and having a very weak legal framework for prosecuting these companies in Canada. And now there's a mining institute set up by the federal government that is headquartered at UBC. And that's something that we have a lot of concerns about. A lot of the companies involved in this institute have been involved in very serious human rights abuses. The structure of the institute we think is very problematic, and essentially, its mandate is to alter mining regulation in other countries.
Really?
Yeah. So this is an issue we've been working on a lot in. So some of the events in this conference reflect that. It's actually it's so the week after our conference is the State of Extraction Conference at SFU, which is going to be a really big thing. They're bringing in mining affected community members and intellectuals and activists from all over the world. So we thought, as long as they're in Vancouver, we could bring them to UBC as well, some of them. So maybe I'll just go talk a bit about the events that are going to be a part of the conference.
Yeah, so before you go into the events, do you mind telling us what the name of the conference is?
It's called the Social Justice Conference 2015.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so pretty simple. We've had different names in past years, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe you could lead us through some of the events that people can expect.
Sure. So if you want to find out more information about times and everything else, you can find us on Facebook, UBC Social Justice Center. But yeah, I'll just give that kind of a breakdown. So next Tuesday we have a short film screening of Testimony by Diadora, who's a woman in Guatemala whose community has been resisting a mine mining project by a Canadian company. The resistance is called La Puya. It's very famous. It got broken up by the Guatemalan government. But so a UBC student went, traveled to Guatemala and recorded video testimony of different mining affected community members to try to bring that awareness of what's happening, what these Canadian companies are causing in other countries, and here we're not aware of it. So her testimony is going to be there, and the filmmakers are going to talk about the project. So that's on Tuesday. On Wednesday...
To interrupt you. On Tuesday, what time is the screening at?
It's going to be at 5 p.m. in Buchanan A103.
Okay.
On Wednesday... So some of you may have heard of what's going on in Mexico right now. There's 43 missing students. The disappearances and political violence in Mexico have been a problem for a very long time. These students disappearing was really the last straw. It's caused a huge social movement, and a lot of questions are being raised about the involvement of the government in these disappearances, involvement with the drug cartels. So there's been really an attempt to have a large international solidarity movement to put pressure on the Mexican government. So what's happening on Wednesday is we're working with a collective of Mexicans working in Vancouver. We're going to hold a concert and fundraiser for the community of Ayotzinapa, which is where these students were from.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is to fundraise money so they can build a community radio station, which is what they've asked for, to be able to broadcast their message.
I'm really interested about knowing more about how these students disappeared. Do you mind giving us a little background information on the incident? Just maybe a quick, 2-3 sentences.
Yeah, sure. So these were students that were studying to be teachers in the Mexican Guerrero state, which has a very high level of political violence, drug violence. And they've disappeared. It's been over 6 months now. People are, like I said, these disappearances happen all the time. So what happened? They were on a bus and the bus disappeared, and there hasn't been anything done since. And people are really demanding very comprehensive investigation. Nothing is known, and people are raising questions about the Mexican government's involvement. It's just become a very broad movement to try to challenge the violence and the corruption in the Mexican government.
All right, so that's on Wednesday, and we're...
Wednesday, mm-hmm. It's starting at 8 p.m. at the Asian Center Auditorium.
So it's a concert format to hope to raise some money for the students who are studying at the same institution?
It's the community, the community of Ayotzinapa.
Okay.
It's going to be... there's going to be a bit of a talk at the beginning to talk about the situation, that kind of thing. And then, there's going to be a concert by donation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really amazing what you're doing. Imagine, I can't imagine one day riding a bus and going to school to UBC and getting kidnapped or abducted.
Yeah, you know, it's really, I mean, it's not even that unfamiliar story in the history of Latin America, but, you know, with Mexico supposedly being like a democratic country and we have so many trade relationships, so I think it's really important that we make this issue very salient.
Mm-hmm. So do you have anything lined up for Thursday?
Yes. So we have.
I feel like this is this conference a week, all week event?
So actually we have an event on Tuesday, an event on Wednesday, two events on Thursday, and then an event the following Monday.
Oh, okay. Okay. So do you mind going over the events happening on Thursday? It must be really hard trying to plan all these events.
Yeah. You know, we're kind of a small team, but.
But the amount of work that you have produced is really, it amazes me, and the amount of work that you have put in to really highlight the social issues that are happening not only within our community, but around the world is very applaudable, I think. Okay. And most students don't really know about these situations, and it's really amazing that you're doing all this work to bring awareness and to help all these communities around the world.
Thank you. it's really, it's something we've been trying to do, like raise awareness about how here at this university, you know, we have all these fancy buildings and everything, and we really, it's sometimes we don't know, like, we don't realize
things for granted.
Yeah, we take things for granted, but we also don't realize what effect this university has on the world, and what what effect Canada has on the world. We always talk about how Canada is such a benign power and its foreign policy is very benign, but if you start looking through, there are a lot of issues in the world. In Latin America now, in many places you go, it's really, it's dangerous to say that you're from Canada, because Canadian foreign policy and Canadian companies have really been involved in the oppression of a lot of communities, and it's not something you hear about a lot from the mainstream media, but if you look into it, you look at reports from communities, you look at human rights organizations, and it's a huge issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really amazing that you're bringing this issue, I guess, to a greater public here at UBC, especially. I feel like everyone here is well educated, and they will be able to understand on a deeper level, and it's a great place to start.
Right.
Yeah. So what do you have lined up for on Thursday?
Okay, so Thursday. So first of all, we have we have a panel discussion on mining. All people that are coming for the State of Extraction conference at SFU that I mentioned earlier. So we have Canahus Manuel, and she's from BC up north, and she's been involved in the activism against the Mount Polley disaster by Imperial Metals. She's really been at the forefront, so she's going to be talking on the panel. So the panel is kind of a general discussion on Canadian mining, on its effect on communities, both inside Canada and in other countries, and also talking about this institute I mentioned earlier. There's going to be Jennifer Moore, who's a journalist who writes about mining conflicts in Latin America. There's going to be Alain Deneau, who's an academic from Quebec who who was involved in a pretty high-profile case. He wrote a book about mining in Africa, and he got sued by two mining companies for $11 million. And then there's going to be Miguel Mijangos from the Mexican Network of Mining Affected Peoples. So he's one of the co-founders, and it's an organization. It's an organization consisting of many communities that are affected by mining in Mexico.
Mm-hmm. So on Thursday there's a panel discussion. What the second event?
The second event.
Oh, sorry, I forgot to ask the time of the panel discussion.
Oh, yeah. It's 2:30 to 4:30 on in Irving K. Barber, room 302. So the second event is called The Corporate University in the 21st Century. So probably every student at UBC is aware of the housing and tuition increases that were proposed by the university administration earlier this year, and the international tuition increase has already passed. These increases came after the appointment of Arvind Gupta to president, and the idea for this event was to kind of play off a speech that President Gupta did in January, where he talked about his vision for the university in the 21st century. So what he said is that universities should attempt to solve industry's problems. He said we need a closer relationship with industry and government. Really, Gupta has been used to be CEO of MITAX, which is a body that does academic corporate partnerships. And we think that's one of the reasons why he was appointed. So what we're trying to do here is highlight the issues of where we think corporatization of the university, which is a general term referring to, you know, higher costs of education, more highly paid administrators, more corporate partnerships. And this is a trend that people have noticed over the past few decades that we think is really worrying. And particularly the affordability crisis here at UBC with these increases. So we're going to have a panel discussion to discuss corporatization and affordability, and also more broadly what the role of the university should be in a democratic society. So we're going to have some people from the I Am a Student movement who were opposing these increases. We're going to have Dr. Elvin Wiley, who's a professor of urban geography here at UBC. And we're going to have Rodney Little Mustache, who's going to discuss the barriers for First Nations students to attend university. And that's at 5 on Thursday in Buchanan A103.
So, sorry, is it this Thursday or...?
No, next Thursday.
Next Thursday. So yeah, all of these
are starting next week.
Next week, okay.
Yeah.
And the last and final event of the conference, I believe, is on Monday?
Yeah, so not this next Monday,
but
the Monday after.
After. So next Monday.
Yeah. So that's film screening. It's also people who are coming for the State of Extraction conference. So this is a film called The Devil Operation. The directors are going to be here to speak, and the film is about Father Marco. He's He's someone who's been opposing mining in Latin America and it turned in Peru. And he's been under surveillance for his activities. A lot of other activists have gotten intimidated, have gotten tortured, have gotten killed. So this film is about that context and about Father Marco in particular. And like I said, there's going to be a Q&A with the directors after the screening.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like an amazing conference. Just to summarize some of the events that you have, I believe on Tuesday the 17th, it will be a panel.
Tuesday, March 24th. It's the first
time. Sorry.
Yeah.
Tuesday, March 24th. I'm on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. That's today.
Today is Tuesday, March 17th. But next week on Tuesday, March 24th, there will be a panel discussion held at from 5 to 7, I believe.
March 24th is the bring of the testimony of Diadora, who's been involved in the La Puya resistance in mm-hmm. Guatemala.
Right.
That's what's happening on Tuesday.
So Tuesday, it's a woman.
So it's going to be, it's going to be a video which is part of like a larger film project by UBC students
mm-hmm.
to bring these testimonies here.
Okay, so Tuesday, it's a short movie clip.
Yep.
On Wednesday, the 25th, it's going to be a panel discussion.
No, Wednesday's the Ayotzinapa fundraiser and concert.
I am so sorry.
It's a lot of events.
Tuesday, okay, let's start this again.
Okay.
Tuesday will be the movie screening,
Bring
awareness to the kidnapped students in Guatemala.
No.
No, oh my God.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
So we have our Facebook page.
Yes.
I encourage people to go there to see all the times. But briefly, if I can go down those type of events.
Yes, please. Please do go down those events. Sorry for the confusion for the listeners out there. I totally messed up the dates and times, but there are some amazing events that the Social Justice Center is putting on throughout the week of from the 24th to the 26th, also another event on the 30th, which is a Monday, and if you want to find them on Facebook, you can have a detailed list of when and where these events will be held. So can you tell us where we can, how we can find you on Facebook or how we can find you on your website?
Yeah. So Facebook, just look up, UBC Social Justice Center, and the event, all the event pages are there. We have a website, but the events are not on there at the moment. I'd encourage people to go on the Facebook page.
Yeah. So again, the Facebook page, you can find Social Justice Center, UBC.
Yeah.
Just Google that. And before I mess up any of the order or the dates of the events, please, Eviatar, could you please go over just maybe a one-sentence description of the event, the time, the date, and where it's being held?
Sure.
Thank you.
So on Tuesday, March 24th, from 5 to 6:30 in Buchanan A103, is going to be the video testimony of Diadora, who was involved in the Puya resistance in Guatemala. On Wednesday, March 25th, is going to be a fundraiser and concert to raise awareness and funds for the community from which the 43 missing students from Mexico came, and that's going to be starting at 8 p.m. In the Asian Center Auditorium. On Thursday, March 26th, we have a panel discussion on Canadian mining, featuring speakers that are coming in from So activists, affected community members, and academics that are coming here for the SFU conference. So that's going to be from 2:30 to 4:30 in Irving, K Barber 302. And then we have a panel discussion about the future of the university in the 21st century, discussing trends in corporatization and affordability, from 5 to 7 p.m. In Buchanan A103, and that's also on the Thursday. And then the Monday, March 30th, we have a screening of The Devil Operation, which is a film about intimidation of mining activists in Peru. And that's going to be from 5 to 7 in Buchanan A102.
So that is the 2015 Social Justice Conference hosted by UBC and the Social Justice Center. So before we go, Evyatar, do you mind telling the listeners if they want to get involved in as part of planning the events or part of the Social Justice Center, how can they get involved?
Sure. So we have weekly meetings in room 245 of the sub on Mondays at 4 p.m. So that's one of the best ways to get involved, is to come to meetings. If you can't make the meetings or you'd like to get involved in some other way, you can email us at Social Justice Center. Make sure that's an R-E, .ubc@gmail.com. That's socialjusticecenter.ubc@gmail.com.
Awesome, 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 awesome. So if you want to attend the Social Justice Conference 2015, how can you sign up?
You don't have to sign up. You can just come to the events. But yeah, if they're all on Facebook, so you can...
RSVP today.
You can RSVP, yeah, and you can invite your friends and everything.
Do the events cost any money, or is it free to all UBC students and beyond?
Yep, they're all free for UBC students and everyone. The Ayotzinapa concert is by donation, but all the rest of them are free.
Mm-hmm. So if you would like to join in the discussion or learn more about what's happening around the world with regards to the kidnapping in
Mexico,
yes, and the mining concerns that the community has, and how Canada's policy has influenced our standing and our reputation within the global economy, please feel free and don't hesitate to attend this conference. These events sound amazing, and the Social Justice Center has put a lot of work, the Social Justice Center team has put a lot of work into organizing these events, and I'm sure they will be amazing and a very educational experience. So please don't hesitate to go and look up Social Justice Center on Facebook and RSVP to these events. That concludes our show. So today we had Evyatar from Social Justice Center, as well as Kira from Speak Easy. Tune in next week to the student special. And Evyatar, would you like to say goodbye to the audience?
Yeah, goodbye. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Thank you so much for donating to Fund Drive and to the student special hour. And that concludes our show. See you next week on Tuesday from 2 to 3. And up next, we have a Radio Free Thinker.
Hey, I'm Christine. I work in the music department.
Hi, my name is Natalie, the new media coordinator.
Hey, it's Rohit Joseph, sponsorship coordinator.
Hi, this is Yusi, and I'm the outreach coordinator.
This is Brenda, host of Peanut Butter and Jams on Thursdays.
Nasher, the ad coordinator at CITR.
My name is Robin Ellum. I'm the program manager.
Hi, I'm Eric Coates, the student music executive.
This is Costa, the news director.
Hey, it's John, the production coordinator.
Hey, this is Josh. I'm the digital submissions coordinator.
I'm Nellie, host of The Cat's Pajams.
This is Matt Granlund from Stranded, the Australian-Canadian Music and Talk Show.
My name is Hugo. I'm the volunteer manager.
Hey, I'm Jane. I'm the volunteer coordinator.
Hey, it's Sarah Corden-Lee from the CITR Music Department.
This is Eleanor Waring, president of CITR Student Executive. From all of us at CITR, we would like to acknowledge and thank everyone who donated to this year's fund drive. With the help of listeners like you, we raised over $38,000. For this incredible generosity, we would like to say thank you.
Thanks, you.
Thank you for donating to Fund Drive.
Thank you very much for your support. We love you guys. Take it easy.
Thank you so much for donating to Fund Drive.
Thank you. Your donation makes such a huge difference.
Thank you so much for all your donations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your support.
Thank you all so much for your support.
Thank you very much to everybody that donated for Fund Drive.
Thank you.
Thank you for your support.
Thank you for supporting this year's Fund Drive.
Thanks, guys, for volunteering and donating.
Thank you so much for donating to CITR's Fund Drive this year. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
It's the Web Wisdom Lottery edition of Radio Free Thinker. This week, we take a look at some of the best of the web. Dangerous chemicals, how much money, the lottery.